Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. So good to see all of you here this morning. Welcome to our this morning's service. I'm just so glad that you're here. Okay, just a couple announcements as we begin our service. You look here on the back of your bulletin, just a couple things to remember. First of all, just a reminder about that July 10th vote. That is coming up just a couple weeks away, really. We will be joined that day by our representatives from the district. We will be taking a final vote there to separate from the Church of the Brethren. So active members will be able to vote in that. I hope that you do come and participate. Also note that there is going to be a carry-in meal following the morning worship service. And the vote will be scheduled to happen at 1:30. So I hope that you come and be sure to pass along to all your family and friends that are a part of the church here. Maybe they don't know that announcement yet. Be sure that you pass that along to them so that those active members can be part of that vote. Also, just a reminder about the ice cream social that's coming up here on July 24th, 6:30 p.m. What a great moment to invite some family and friends to come. Everyone is welcome to be a part of that. And we look to have just a wonderful evening here. The Hevners will be sharing with us. Heaven's Mountain Band is how they kind of, the name of their band, but they'll be sharing with us the bluegrass gospel music. And they titled it Gospel Music with a Bluegrass Touch, and they are good. They're very good instrumentally, and they're good singing, and they put on a good show. So I think you should come and be a part of that, and be sure to tell others to come as well. Also, I did update the church floral arrangement sign-up sheet there, and the Narthex on the bulletin board. If you'd like to donate flowers or floral arrangements, maybe in memory or in celebration or in honor, we would love you to do that. Just be sure to sign up there, and that way we know that you have chosen a Sunday to participate in that. And really, there's not a whole lot more other than, of course, some vacation time. Just a reminder that our deacons are always available if I'm away. You should know who your deacon is. If not, you can talk to me. I'll make sure that you know. But yeah, there's always someone that is available here at the church to help you in your time of need. Are there any other announcements that you'd like to share? With that, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us, Lord. We thank you for, Lord, just who you are in our life, Lord, that if we need anything, Father, we can turn to you. And Lord, that you comfort us, you strengthen us, Lord, you give us joy, Lord, you give us patience, you give us peace. Lord, all the things that we need in our life, Father, if we turn to you, Lord, we can find those things there. So we come this morning, Lord, just seeking to praise you, to praise your name, to praise your Son Jesus for the goodness that we have found in him, for the salvation and the hope that we have received through your Son Christ. Lord, we just praise his name here this morning. We pray that in all our worship, in our sermon, in our singing, Lord, even in our giving, Father, we just pray that in all these things you are truly blessed here this morning. Father, we just seek to worship you and praise your name. Bless us, I pray, in this hour of worship together. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand this morning for our call to worship here coming from portions of Isaiah chapter 9. Aren't we blessed to have such wonderful acolytes? Always we have such wonderful acolytes here at Moscow. We just thank them so much. Okay, portions of Isaiah 9. Jerusalem staggers and Judah is falling. Their words and deeds are against the Lord. Defying His glorious presence, the look on their faces testify against them. They parade their sin like Sodom and do not hide it. Woe to them! Woe to the wicked! For they have brought disaster upon themselves. Let's turn our hymnals to page 461. He leadeth me, page 461. Sung a hymn that just makes you feel so comforted. Isn't that great? He leads us, doesn't he? We don't just wander around wondering what we're to do, what we're to say, where we're to go. God leads us, doesn't he? As much as we seek the Lord, he leads us. He takes our hand. We trust in him and he leads us. Boy, that's just comforting to know, isn't it? We have a Savior that leads us and we follow. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can reach our hand up in yours like a child reaching his or her hand up to grab a hold of their parent's hand. And Lord, the trust that is there, that they can trust in their parent. And Lord, they can just follow along. And as that parent leads that child, Lord, they know that they're safe and secure. Lord, they know that their parent loves them. And Lord, they know that they are just safe and secure in the hand of their father or mother. Lord, we have that same image in our mind now as we reach out spiritually and grab a hold of the hand of our Savior Jesus. And Lord, he leads us along in this world as we go through trials and troubles. Maybe you come in this Sunday, Lord. Maybe there are those that come in, Lord, this Sunday that are struggling, that are dealing with issues in their life. Lord, they're really struggling to get through each day. Lord, I just pray, even right now, they just reach out to you and just grab a hold of your hand and say, Lord, just take me and lead me where you would want me to go. Care for me. Watch over me. Give me the strength that I need to get through. Lord, I pray that even now upon each one of us. Father, we praise you. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I just pray that everyone has had a good week. Even as we look to a new week here, I hope that your last week was really good. I had an interesting week. I spent most of my week, my evenings, in vacation Bible school with Sangersville Church and Emmanuel Church. And let's see, gosh, there was just a number of churches that came together to do that. And we had really good turnouts each night, about 50 children each night were part of that. Had over maybe 20-some volunteers each night kind of looking after those children. My job was with the junior high, and Aiden was able to participate in that from our church. And so we had an exciting week. We did all kinds of service projects. One day we were cleaning trash out of the North River, and I think they had more fun playing in the water than they did picking up trash. One evening we were stacking wood for our community wood pile. And boy, we had some good workers. Each night in the junior high, at least in our group, we had 12 to 13, 14 kids that were part of that. So really amazing. And then one night we camped out, which was interesting. We went tent camping over at Emmanuel Church and spent the night there and made hillbilly pies and s'mores. That was all good, but then you had to sleep on the ground. And tent camping was just as I remembered it, except maybe a little worse. I'm a few years older. It doesn't get any better. Trust me, it doesn't get any better. We had an air mattress, though. Me and Aiden split an air mattress. And Aiden said when he woke up, I pretty much had the air mattress. He had the corner of it. So I kept pushing him over, apparently. But we had a good time. The kids had a good time. Everyone really enjoyed it. It was a good turnout. They talked about the armor of God all week and just putting on the different portions of the armor of God. The gospel, the shoes of peace, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, all these things we talked about, helmet of salvation. It was great for the kids. I think they learned a lot and they had a great time. Friday we ended with a big music program. And all the kids sang, and I shared that we didn't need Red Wing when we had vacation Bible school because they brought it. The kids really, the music they shared was good, and they did a nice job. And so if you weren't able to fit it in your schedule, we'll have to make sure we get that out a little sooner next year when the dates are, and so that the kids can participate. It is a good thing. It really is, and the kids have a ball. So that was interesting. But we just praise the Lord for all that was done this past week and all the good that was learned there, and just pray for each child now that they will continue to put on their armor and to live out their faith. Okay, other praises or prayer requests. By way of prayer request, I'd like you to continue to pray for Randy Simmons. Randy, you know, is home, but Randy has, for the last week or so, been having some issues with his heart. His heart is kind of, they're having trouble with the, it's slowing down, I think is what Marcia told me. So they're just trying to find the medicine that would regulate his rhythm and make sure that his blood pressure or his heart rate isn't dropping too low. So if you would, just continue to lift up Randy Simmons in prayer. Also, we want to continue to give pray and give thanks for Eddie Corbin. That's Kathy Teeter's stepfather. Eddie is still recovering, although Kathy shared with me that it's kind of a slow sort of thing. In fact, she texted me that one day they actually dropped him. And fortunately, he didn't have any broken bones or anything like that, but certainly that wasn't pleasant to go through. And he is recovering, though, and we just praise the Lord for that. I know that the family continues to thank the Lord for all the success of that surgery. It was a very serious surgery on his heart, and that he is recovering slowly. We just, if you would, just continue to lift him up in prayer. Also, I don't know about you, but I was just rejoicing this past week when we seen on the news, I think it was Friday, that Roe versus Wade was overturned. What a blessing. I know that's something at least I've been praying for. I know many churches had been praying for a long time. And so what a blessing to see that reversal there and just a move in the right direction. And so we just praise the Lord for that. I heard this morning that in America, I think they said 63 million babies had been aborted. Or I guess it's, 50, 60 years of Roe versus Wade. And so just unimaginable to think of all that loss of life. But praise the Lord, we're seeing that reversal. And we just pray now that that effort will continue on into the States. And just pray that God will continue to answer our prayers there when it comes to the sanctity of life. Okay, are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Anyone else?
I'll just share
Janet.
My son-in-law's dad had a stroke.
Okay.
In intensive care on a ventilator, and the children are having to meet today to decide if and when to stop life support. So this is a very, very difficult time.
Your son-in-law's dad, is that what you said? Yeah.
His name is Gene Reslaw.
Okay, Gene. And I.
Reslaw.
Absolutely. We please lift that family, Janet's family and son-in-law up in prayer as they contemplate that decision. That is not an easy thing. So we just pray for their discernment of making a decision that would be best for Gene, whatever that is. So thank you for sharing that, Janet. I have another praise. Today is my wife's birthday. So Deborah's birthday is today. I don't know if I can say the age or not. She said she doesn't care. And she's 28 today. Isn't that wonderful? I married so young. Yeah, she's 41, right? Yeah, I almost said 42, but I don't want to go too high here. That could get me in trouble. So we just celebrate her birthday today, and just praise the Lord for Deborah and just the blessings that she's given to me in my life. So really, really appreciate that.
We'd like to add to that we really appreciate having Deborah in our family.
Yeah.
We've always been blessed by her. She's a very hard worker, and she's helped us many times. And we're just very blessed to have her and be able to look at her as my daughter. One of the jokes we've always said is if Darren ever left,
Ah, well, that's comforting, isn't it? That's comforting. We started dating when she was 15 years old.
13.
13? And I don't advocate any of this, children. Don't listen to that. Are you sure it wasn't 14? Now I'm embarrassed. We've been together a long time, though. How many years is that?
26 years.
26 years, yeah. 26 years we've been together. Hadn't been married all that time, but been together, yeah. It's funny, you remember stories, and I'll think back to something that happened long ago, and I'll think, there's no way that Deborah would remember that. Nope, she was there then, and she remembers that, so it's just amazing. We've just celebrate her birthday today. Do we have any other birthdays? I don't want to miss out on someone. I know last week Nancy Bailey had a birthday. Where's Nancy at? She's here somewhere. There she is. And so we celebrate her birthday as well. She just had another birthday. And she told me she was so blessed by her son, who called several times to just wish her a happy birthday, Preston. And so we just praise the Lord for that. Anyone else with a birthday? Don't want to miss anyone. Are there any other prayer requests? Praises? With that, I'm going to call our ushers to come forward now and collect our tithes and our offerings. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the opportunity again to bless you with these offerings. Lord, we bring these things forward to you, Lord, to, again, just to show our love and, Lord, to follow your word, even if you, as you've called us to tithe and give to you. Lord, we seek to do these things as a way of our tribute and our honor to you, our thanks to you. And Lord, I just pray that you receive our offering this morning, Lord, that you bless our offering, even like the fish and the loaves, the Lord, you multiply our offering, Lord, that you might use it in a mighty way to reach out to a world that is hurting, a world that is confused, a world that has been, Lord, that has been lied to by Satan, and Lord, that needs your truth. And Father, I just pray that you use this church, this body, Lord, this body of this group of believers, your church, to continue to preach the word and to do the mission of reaching out to those who need Jesus in their life. Lord, we thank you that we have Jesus in our life. Lord, that we've received your blessed Son. And Lord, we've received as well his finished work there upon the cross. Lord, we can't thank you enough for the blessings which we have gained through him. Lord, we praise his name here this morning. Lord, we thank you for the answered prayers which we have received as well, even because of your Son Jesus. Lord, we thank you that he answers our prayers. He hears our prayers. And Lord, he answers our prayers as we need and call upon you. Father, we pray for Randy Simmons this morning. We pray for Eddie Corbin this morning. We pray for Janet's family and her son-in-law and this decision that they're to make, Lord, for Gene. We pray for him as well. Lord, I just pray that the unspoken prayers as well that we bring this morning, Lord, that you hear those as well and just answer those prayers that we continually lay at your feet. Father, we come to you because, Lord, you're the place where we should go with our problems, with our issues, Lord, with our grief, with our sorrow. Lord, that as much as we're willing to bring these things to you, Lord, that you are willing to hear our prayer and answer our prayer from upon high. And Lord, we thank you for that. Bless us, I pray, as we continue through this service. Lead and guide us in this worship. And Father, we just pray you touch our hearts here today as well. Lord, just somehow transform us, even as we hear your word, to grow in our faith, be encouraged in our faith, Lord. And Lord, that we can live out our faith daily, weekly, Lord. Not that we just live it out here for an hour, but Lord, that we truly live out our faith in this wicked world in which we live. Lord, we praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. In your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We're going to be looking at the sins of Sodom this morning. And we're going to be kind of turning between a couple of different chapters. Chapter 13, verses 5 through 13, we'll be looking at first. But we'll also kind of hold your finger there, because we're also going to be in chapter 18 as well. And we're going to be in chapter 19 as well to get the full story here. This is something that I thought I would fit in just one sermon, but it looks like we may be looking at this for a couple Sundays, because there's a lot to gain here from the story of Sodom and, of course, Gomorrah. But this kind of speaking directly about the sins of Sodom here this morning. So let us look here at our scriptures as we begin in Genesis 13, 5 through 13. And Lot also went with Abram and had flocks and herds and tents. And so here Lot and Abram are traveling together, and he has, as well as Abraham, all these flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them. There was so much of that, so much flocks, so much herds, so much tents, that they weren't able to support the both of them. And the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. And so Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren." Now this was, Lot was Abram's nephew. And so they were kin, and he didn't want strife to come between them. "Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me," Abram says. "If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice this is before. "Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and had pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord." Now we're looking here this morning, this Old Testament story, probably many of you are familiar with it, about the city here of Sodom, and of course Gomorrah too as well. These twin cities here, which notice there in verse 13, that Sodom was exceedingly wicked. It was an immoral city, an evil city, a wicked city, an irredeemable sort of place that had become so filled with sin that God had seen that there was no choice but to destroy the city with fire and brimstone. I don't know if you know what brimstone is, but brimstone really in ancient times was sulfur. It's just a natural element, sulfur, kind of a natural occurring element here on earth, but that when burned with oxygen, of course, it forms this sulfur dioxide. And most of you can recognize that smell as rotten eggs. So this smell, think of this smell that was coming up, this burning sulfur that was going to consume the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and really this stench then that would come up from the city from this burning brimstone, this sulfur that was burning. You know, sulfur doesn't ordinarily catch on fire, but it is flammable at higher temperatures. I've never been to a volcano before, but one of the things I hear, if you've been to a volcano, you can smell because of the high heat and the sulfur in the ground. You can smell the smell of rotten eggs. And that, again, is that sulfur that is burning there. This brimstone is how they would describe that, this brimstone burning. And rotten smell was kind of a perfect memorial for Sodom because Sodom was rotten to the core, wasn't it? It was rotten with sin. It was a place of societal decay in every form and fashion. It was spoiled. It was putrid from the rot of sin that was within its city gates. And God recognized this, and He held Sodom and defined it as an exceedingly wicked place, sinful even against the Lord. Now, I tell you, it's no coincidence, to be perfectly honest with you, that I'm preaching on this morning. Well, I feel that God kind of led me to this scripture after watching for the past month within America, within our nation, what seems like a similar smell rising up from our society. This rotten smell, this putrid sort of smell. You know, this last month in America, we spent a whole month, well, we didn't, but some did, within our nation celebrating Pride Month, which this is a celebration of LGBTQ, and now they added a plus to the end of it. It just keeps growing and growing as they come up with different things to add to that list. But this celebration of immorality within our nation, and it's started right there the first day of June, really. You've seen even corporations change their logos to try to incorporate, and they've used the rainbow as their symbol of their statement of pride. Really, it's just a shame, isn't it, that they would take something that was given to us by God as a promise that He would not destroy us by water again, wouldn't judge us and destroy our earth by water, but that next time He's going to judge us by fire, isn't He? Fire and brimstone, maybe, even like we see here in Sodom. But a whole month, really. Isn't it a shame that we only celebrate Father's Day one day, or we celebrate Mother's Day one day, but for some reason in America, we give a whole month to the sin of homosexuality? This blows your mind, doesn't it? We can only give one day to honor our mother, but we'll spend a whole month celebrating sexual sin. Whole month of parades of just all sorts of things to celebrate this immoral lifestyle of homosexuality. Businesses and governments and store owners, news outlets. Seems like everyone jumps on board to celebrate this immorality within our nation. You know, as a pastor, I had to even think twice about whether or not to go into this because I don't want to sound like a broken record. I don't want to sound as if I can only preach one thing behind the pulpit. The Bible has a lot to say. Homosexuality as a sin is just one thing. But I think on the other hand, we cannot ignore, and nor can I ignore, what's happening in our nation. What's happening in our society. You just cannot close your eyes to that. And I think that I have to continue to preach those things that are pressing within our nation and within our life. And so I don't want to sound like a broken record, and yet I do not want to ignore what is truly happening today. Nor do I want to ignore the warning of destruction for a city like Sodom and Gomorrah, a place that was here described as exceedingly wicked, that was irredeemable because of their great sin, and that God eventually judged because of this sin. And so we pick up here with Abram and his nephew Lot. They were so greatly blessed by the Lord that it had become impossible, we see here in our scripture, for them both to graze their animals together because of the size of their flocks. And of course, we see that Lot chose the plain of Jordan. And of course, that's exactly the area that contained these two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. And that this statement here is made that Sodom was exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. This beautiful area, but this land that Lot chose had these two cities there. Really a temptation for Lot, wasn't it? A temptation in this land for Lot. We'll look at that next week, how Lot was tempted away from the things of the Lord and he was tempted to the things of the world. Now, the first thing I want to talk about, really three things about the sins of Sodom, and really that's what I want to focus on here this morning, is the particular sins of Sodom. Because the Bible does tell us it was an exceedingly wicked place. Why was it so wicked? Why does God describe it as an exceedingly wicked place? He could have just called it wicked, couldn't he? But it doesn't. It calls it exceedingly wicked. That means the things that were going on there were so detestable, so disgusting, so distasteful in the eyes of God, literally that it would make God sick to his stomach to look upon those things. They were exceedingly wicked there in Sodom. And to accurately see the sins of Sodom, now we need to move forward here a little bit. Because I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to see for yourself the sins of Sodom. Move forward to chapter 19, verses 1 through 11. We're going to look at this real quick. We've got to keep moving here. We won't get through it all. I want you to see for yourself just exactly how wicked, exceedingly wicked, this city had become, the people had become in this city. Now, the two angels, and these are the angels that had come and visited with Abram. It says, these two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot, notice we learned about Lot, right? He's in this land, but here is Lot now in the city. And Lot saw them, and he rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. Notice the kind of a humble or even a shameful sort of greeting there that maybe Lot is showing. And he said, "Hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, and then you may arise early and go your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But he insisted strongly, that is Lot. So they turned to him and entered his house. Then he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now these two angels had come and visited Lot, and Lot persuaded them to come into his house. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." That is, sexually. So Lot went out to them. He kind of went through the door, went out through the door, and to them through the doorway, and he shut the door behind him. And he said, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof. And they said, stand back. And then they said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man, Lot, and he came near to breaking down the door. But the men, these angels, they reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them. And they shut the door, and they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness. That is, the angels did, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Notice here, number one, this repulsive sexual sin that was rampant in Sodom. The city of Sodom, those people there, had become fully overtaken by their sexual desires. In Sodom, whatever a person thirsted for, they drank. In Sodom, whatever, if it was stealing that they desired, they stole. In Sodom, if it was laziness that you wanted to do, then they just didn't go to work. If it was anger, then they killed. And if it was idols, then they worshiped them. And listen, if it was sex, they had it with whoever and with whatever they wanted to. In our story here, you see this sexual sin taking place with these two angels. They come down to Lot, or they come down to the city of Sodom. They're there to kind of to evaluate the city, to report back to God, really, on what they find there. And of course, they find Lot there, and Lot begs them to come out of the square there where they were going to stay the night, and to come and seek shelter, security behind his closed doors, so that they wouldn't be brutally raped by the men of the city. Notice the men, both old and young, they came from the city and surrounded really Lot's house. Right after dinner, they were getting ready to lay down. There was this commotion, and all these men of the city came out to Lot's house demanding that they might know these two men carnally. That's specific. They wanted to sexually know these men. You know, a lot of times today, they will say that homosexuality is not necessarily just about sex, but they'll say that it's about love, it's about affection, it's about two people that want to be together. Who are we to stand in the way of that, is kind of how it's outlined. But I tell you, anyone that would say such a thing certainly hasn't looked too deeply into the homosexual lifestyle. Because once you look at the lifestyle of the homosexual community, you will see that it is sexualized, it's supercharged sexually. That most everything that they do has to evolve their culture around sex and the sexuality of a person. I tell you, I don't have to even try that hard to prove my point. You just watch one of their parades one time and tell me what they're promoting. Just watch for yourself one of the parades and tell me exactly what they're promoting in homosexuality. It's about sex. It's about sexuality. And that's what we see here happening within the city of Sodom. This over-sexualization, this repulsive sexual sin that is going on here from these people of Sodom. You know, homosexuality has within it the word sex, doesn't it? Just like Sodom is what you find in the word sodomy. And it kind of tells us everything we need to know, doesn't it? Sodomy, Sodom, homosexuality, sex. Some people in the Christian church today, I think, they get in their minds that, I think they want to excuse the sin. When did we get in the habit in the church of excusing sin? I don't know when that happened. But it seems like many people today, especially Christians, we want to make excuses for certain sins. Well, you know, that's just them, or That's just the way things are today. You know, when did God ever change His word? When did God ever change His mind about sin? I can't find it in the Bible at all. Did God change His mind when it came to murder? Do we think, well, you know, it's the 21st century. Murder's okay now. God says murder is sin. We still believe it's sin. God didn't change His mind, did He? Did God change His mind when it comes to stealing or lying or thieving? Did God change His mind on any of these sorts of sins? No, He did not. Did God change His mind when it comes to homosexuality or sexual sins? Absolutely not. These things are still sin today. God does not change His mind, and God's word does not change. Okay, their repulsive sexual sin is what we see. Number two, their remorseless, callous attitude, even towards sin. And God was displeased with their sexual sin, but notice there was also a remorseless attitude within the people's hearts that they had succumbed to. Sodom was an evil place because it was a place where sin abounded. Even sexual sin was fervent there in the city. But notice, also, it was a place where they were remorseless and callous in their attitude toward sin. Adrian Rogers once said, you know, the sins that once slithered down the back streets, now they are back alleys, now parade themselves down Main Street. Very true, isn't it? Those sins that once kind of hidden behind doors, now it's out parading itself right down the main streets today. There's a certain tolerance that we're seeing in the world, in our world, towards sin, isn't it? We're seeing a tolerance, even in the church today. One of the words that you hear is tolerance. Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. We need to tolerate it. We need to give people room. Thou shalt not judge is what they'll say. You need to give tolerance to all these things. Yeah, I had a friend in the Church of the Brethren. He was an older fellow. He used to travel with us to different sorts of events. And one of the things he told me, I remember him saying this to me, is you cannot compromise with the devil. You can't compromise with the devil. There is no compromising with the devil. The devil doesn't care about you. There's no compromise that you can make with the devil. I tell you, he is so right. And there can't be a place of tolerating certain sins in the church or in the faith. We have to be sure that we're continuing to preach the truths of God, even if it's not sociably or not even sociably acceptable. Just because the society says that it's acceptable or it's okay, and that we're wrong for calling it out as a sin, that doesn't mean that we just stop preaching and proclaiming that. I think many in the church have today because they're afraid of the retribution that they might receive for calling sin, sin. The attitude of compromise is what we see today, especially when it comes to the sins of homosexuality. Why do you think the church has compromised? Why do you think the Christians have compromised so willingly when it comes to the sin of homosexuality? Well, number one, because I think it's easier to compromise than to stand up, isn't it? Just an easier path. You know, the Lord didn't say that our path to righteousness was going to be an easy one, did He? Did He say the road is narrow? The road is straight, the gate is narrow? You know, it's not a broad road. It's not a wide gate that we enter in. Jesus said, few there be that find it. Christianity is a more difficult path, isn't it? We live by the laws, the ordinances of God. And it's a harder thing, friends, to stand up in our community and our society and say that homosexuality is sin. It's not a popular opinion. And in most groups, you might be berated because of that very thing. I tell you what, in some churches, if I preach that message, I would probably be ran out the door. because I'm calling sin, sin. Not me. It's not even me. It's not me calling sin, sin. Don't blame me. God's word says it's sin. We're seeing the destruction of Sodom because of the sin of homosexuality. God didn't spare the city of Sodom. He didn't even try to bring about revival there. He said the place was so corrupt that the sin was so vile and so evil in the eyes of God that it was only fit for destruction. Don't blame me. Don't beat the messenger. You know? I'm just carrying along the message of what God's word says. He calls it sin. Listen, I couldn't preach this message without being ran out of some churches. Some churches right in the Church of the Brethren. And many others as well. They would not like what I'm saying this morning. And they would not have me preaching this message in their church. It'd be the last message I preach from the pulpit in their church. Let me put it that way. But friends, we can't just succumb to that because it's the easy path. Just because we might be berated or might be pushed against or pushed back or reviled against because we're preaching the truth of God. We have to be willing, bold, and courageous to stand up and preach the truth, even when it's not easy. I think they compromise because it's easier to compromise than to stand up. Number two, because no one wants to condemn the sin that so many are passionate about today. So they excuse the sin. See that as well, don't we? There's a lot of passion in the LGBTQ movement. Boy, if you say there isn't, you're not looking very hard. Look how passionate they are about the sins that they're committing. But just because a person is passionate about something doesn't mean that it's acceptable. When did we somehow put passion with acceptability? Righteousness is passion? That's not what God's word says at all. Righteousness isn't necessarily associated with passion. Just because somebody's passionate about something doesn't mean that it's then right. But for some reason, even in the church, we think that, well, they're passionate about something, it must be right. Friends, don't be pulled into that lie. We can be passionate about all sorts of things, but that doesn't mean that it's correct or that it's right. They're passionate. And I think many today don't want to stand against it because they've been fooled that somehow we've made passionate as righteousness. Number three, I think many people have just been deceived by the devil that this sin really isn't sin anymore. Oh, God's word has changed. That's Old Testament. Don't matter anymore. Listen, Jesus made mention of all these things. It's not just because it's Old Testament, it doesn't no more apply to us. No. You know, God speaks to us through the Old Testament just as much as He does the New. Friends, we cannot compromise because it's either hard or because it's difficult or because we don't want to condemn or because we don't want to be judgmental. Listen, we're not being judgmental. It's not us that judges. God's the judge, right? Again, we're just relaying the truth of what God has said. The attitude of compromise. It's too bad, but we're seeing it even in the church today. God does not change His mind on murder or adultery, stealing, lying. He certainly hasn't changed His mind on the sin of homosexuality. What makes the church today think that God has changed His mind when it comes to homosexuality? I do not know. But we certainly see a church that is changing and agreeing with that sin. You know, I want you to hear this morning, I hope that you don't mistake in this, that God does not hate the homosexual. God, I'm not preaching hate against homosexuals. I hope that you hear that. God hates the sin of homosexuality, but He does not hate the person that is practicing that sin. God loves them. He's calling them from that sin. I pray that you don't misinterpret or mishear what I'm saying. I'm not preaching hate against the sinner, but I am preaching that God says He hates the sin of homosexuality, just like He hates the sin of murder, just He hates the sin of stealing and lying and all these other sorts of sins. It's all the same. He hates these sorts of things. You know why God hates sin? Because sin's destructive, isn't it? It destroys your life. And that's why He says that homosexuality is something that will not benefit you, but it is something that is destructive. You know, if you look at the suicide rates within the homosexual lifestyle, they are way higher than normal society. It's a destructive sort of lifestyle. God says that these things are sin not to shame us or hurt us, but to help us. One preacher said, sin fascinates us, then it assassinates us. Sin thrills us, and then it kills us. God is not simply trying to make us miserable. When God says, thou shalt not, He is saying, don't hurt yourself. And when God says, thou shalt, He is saying, help yourself, for these things are good. Okay, it's the repulsive sexual sin of Sodom. It's the remorseless, callous attitude of Sodom. And then notice there, it's the rarity of righteousness that is within Sodom. I want you to notice there that there is few people that are righteous within Sodom. We'll end on this, chapter 18, verses 20 and 22 here. Chapter 18, verses 20 and 22. And it goes through right here. And the Lord said, because the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah are great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it, what has come to me. And if not, I will know. And then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? This is Abraham speaking to God. Kind of asking God, would He destroy the righteous in the city for the sake of the evil? And far it be from you to do such a thing as this, or slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less, that is 45 righteous. Would you also destroy it, the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find 45, I will not destroy it. And then he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be but 40 found there. And so he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then again Abraham said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should not be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 here. And then he goes all the way down. Keep on reading there. Verse 32, and then he said, but let not the Lord be angry, and I speak but once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way, and soon as he had finished speaking with Abram, and Abram returned to his place. It was not only was it the sin, the repulsive sin, the remorseless, callous attitude of those people there, but notice also it was a lack of righteous people in the city. The rarity of righteous, God did destroy the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. He could not even find 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom. Not even 10. When Lot came out of the city, he came with himself, his wife, and his 2 daughters. 4 people. And the 2 daughters couldn't even convince their husbands to leave with them. 4 people came out of there, and even Lot's wife looked back, didn't she? Really, it was only 3 that escaped the destruction of Sodom. I tell you, that's a message for us today, isn't it? It's not just the sin that we worry about today in America. It's not just the unrighteous and uncallous minds of people that are committing such sins. But I tell you, friends, we have to worry about a lack of righteousness within America as well. I think America is soon turning itself into a modern-day Sodom. I wonder if we're not already there. Makes you beg the question, is there hope for America? Boy, I sure hope so. There was hope for Lot. And there was hope for his family because of his faith. God was not going to destroy the whole city for the sake of the righteous. Friends, there's hope, isn't it? Maybe not hope for America, but there's hope for those who put their faith in Christ. That's the story. We're going to continue to look at this. We need to hear it. We're living in a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. We need to wake up in America before it's too late. God judges us just like he did Sodom. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word this morning, this word of warning that we hear so clearly. Lord, we fear that we're living in a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, as we see the callousness of people, even over this Roe versus Wade, you see those in the streets, Lord, that are crying out to kill babies, the desire to abort, Lord, the callousness of their hearts towards the sin of murder. Lord, we see the parades a whole month within America celebrating the sexual sin of homosexuality. Lord, we see all these things transpiring around us, and Lord, we worry that our nation that you have blessed us with, Lord, is being transformed into a Sodom or Gomorrah. Lord, help us, I pray. Deliver many from this wickedness that is overtaking our land. Father, deliver our nation from this wickedness, I pray, if there is still time. Lord, have our hearts to seek you. Turn from our wickedness, that you might heal our land. Father, we praise you here this morning. Thank you for this word. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn, page 458. It's Gentle Shepherd. It's kind of a short little hymn. Page 458. Let's stand together and sing this. Grace, Heavenly Father, Lord, we do need you, our gentle shepherd, to come and help us in our time of need. Lord, help us to find our way. Lord, not only as a people, as a community, but Lord, as a nation, help us to find our way, Lord. That's what we're seeking. Lord, we don't want to be a modern-day Sodom or Gomorrah. Lord, we need revival within this nation. We need people to have their eyes open to the sickness of the sin, the wickedness of the sin in which they are committing, Lord. And Lord, I pray you open our eyes to the sin that is within our life as well. Lord, help us to be righteous men and women, Lord, that seek to please you in our lives, in all that we do, and all that we say. Lord, help us in that, I pray. And as much so, Lord, we give you all the praise and glory. Father, bless us as we go from this place. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.